This is Richard Blackaby, and you are listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friend, welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited about today's conversation with Dr. Richard Blackaby. Have you ever been confused by God? Have you ever expected that God would act in one way, only to witness him do something entirely different? We know God never makes mistakes, but we often carry incorrect expectations of him. We talk all about that and more today in the conversation with Dr. Richard Blackaby, all about his newest book, The Ways of God, How God Reveals Himself Before a Watching World. This is such a special conversation. It's one you're going to want to grab a pad of paper and a pen and just soak up all of his wisdom. I know I have listened to this conversation multiple times, and it has been such an encouragement to me. And if you did not catch the last episode we did with him, me and my husband Dustin interviewed Dr. Blackaby a few months ago, make sure you go back and listen to that episode and check out the Richard Blackaby Leadership Podcast. I talk a little bit about that in the beginning of the episode. So I won't delay us anymore. Help me welcome our friend, Dr. Richard Blackaby, back to the show. Dr. Richard Blackaby, I am so honored to have you back on the show today. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, it's great to be back with you.
I am excited to talk about your new book. I got it in the mail and have read a good chunk of it before we had this conversation, and I'm just so excited to slow down. I think I'm going to slow down and start over is my plan after we get to chat today, because I just wanted to be prepared for this conversation, but I just want to soak it all up because it's such a great, great message. And before we dig into that, I want to tell our people. So we had an episode with you. It's been a few months back. Me and my husband, Dustin, interviewed you and loved that conversation. But my husband brought this up this morning. He said, you have got to tell your people about his leadership podcast. So I want you to know from us that your leadership podcast, the Richard Blackaby Leadership Podcast, has been such an encouragement to us. And if our listeners are wanting just an extra resource to listen to as a leader, as a ministry leader, particularly, I just want you to hear from me that it's been such an encouragement to us. So thank you for that.
What a blessing. Thank you. You know, my son-in-law does it with me, and I travel all the time and speak, and he said, but you know, there's lots of people that can't just be in the conference in the city you're in, if you just take a moment just to put some thoughts down each week, then it's like having coffee and just you're asking, well, what are you seeing, you know, going on out there right now? And so it's been a fun thing, and I'm always surprised when I come across someone that listens to it. I was in Bangkok, and someone said, yeah, my wife and I have been listening every week, and so it blows you away when you put it on the airwaves, it's accessible just as yours is as well. So
that's awesome. We often will say it is the coolest thing to know that you have a rich conversation with someone that you know that people you will never meet will get to access. And I just think that's a beautiful thing that we get to do in this time. And I think that's so special. So thank you for doing it. I know it's a lot of work and it's a blessing. So we're thankful
for all the work that goes into it.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I'm so excited to introduce my people to your newest book. We said the title a minute ago, but I'll say the full title again. It's called The Ways of God, How God Reveals Himself to a Watching World. And Dr. Blackaby, I always love hearing the story behind the story of how someone, how maybe God led someone to this particular message. You say in the acknowledgments that you feel this is one of the most important books you've ever written. And after reading some of it, I would agree with you. And I just would love to hear your heart behind it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You know, my dad wrote a version of this earlier, about 20 or so years ago, and I think he never felt like he kind of got to the depths of what he wanted to say in that book. And so I was encouraged for several years to go back at it, but I was always too busy doing other things. And then, you know, the more that I work with leaders and other people, it just became obvious that You know, I would just come across all these people that were very sincere Christians, working very hard for the Lord, best intention, and then they'd be confused. It'd be like, you know, I'm working really hard at this church. Why is God not blessing? Why is God not growing? And why am I facing this opposition? And they were bewildered. They kept saying, I'm just confused why God doesn't, why he acts that way. Why is God not on my side? Why is he not doing what I thought he would do? And it just came in time, I just realized, well, I think the problem is we don't know God as well as we think we do. We don't know the way God does things. There's a difference between what God does and how God does it. God has an infinite number of ways he could get a job done, but he always does it in the way that maximizes his glory, that achieves his purposes to the full effect. What I find is there's a lot of God's people who are doing the right thing, but they're doing it the wrong way. And if they could ever align not just what they do, but how they do it with God's ways, then I think God would be much more inclined to bless, to empower, because he wants you to do things in a way that honors him. Yeah. And the problem with the church today is that there's a lot of churches trying to do God's work the world's way. And that's always a recipe for frustration and disappointment.
Wow. God's work the world's way. That's a very simple way, a very concise way of saying, I think, what a lot of us are experiencing. And so I think that's so powerful. And I pulled a quote from the book early on, and it says this. You say, God's ways are not our ways. He does not adjust his ways over time. He does not accommodate them to our feelings or preferences, but he is willing to reveal them to us. They are found in scripture and they haven't changed. If we fail to learn his ways, God's actions will continually confuse and disappoint us, like you're saying. If we don't know God's ways, we won't recognize his activity, even when he is working all around us. But when we learn God's ways, we will discover that he is indeed at work, and we will be swept up into his eternal purposes. Never be satisfied merely seeing the acts of God. Strive to move from seeing God's actions to being intimately familiar with his ways. And so you alluded to this a little bit, but I wonder, are there common themes as you think about the conversations you're having with Christians today, and some things that maybe are causing confusion or causing disappointment, and maybe we can begin to be more familiar with what those are so we recognize, oh, I really need to point myself back to scripture and back to God's ways when I'm experiencing those?
Well, you know, we as Christians, I mean, some people have been Christians a long time, and so they assume because they've been a Christian a long time that they know how God does things, but we underestimate the impact it's had on the fact that we've been marinating in the ways of the world all of our life. I mean, we were bombarded by the ways of God. Every time you turn on the television, look at the internet, you're bombarded with the world's ways, and we have no idea how much that has impacted us and the way we think. It's just all we know. It's the water we swim in. So we don't even know that there's a different way to do things unless you really spend time in God's word and what I found, when I'm reading the Bible, I always want to say, okay, what did God do here? What did God say here? But then I want to say, but why did he do it that way? You know, there's just so many times where you don't ask that. It's a given. Well, that's what God did. But he could have done it 1,000 other ways, but he did it that way. Why did he do that? And why did he do it that way? And you start to realize every time God's ways are confusing to you, that ought to be a red flag to you that you don't know his ways as well as you think you do. Because I think that when if you understood fully the ways of God, you wouldn't be confused by what he's doing. Yeah. And so, you know, so I just see everywhere I go, and I travel in a lot of churches and speak a lot of different places. And so I don't mean to say this critically, but I'm just constantly seeing very well-intentioned people that have just embraced the ways of the world and they don't even know it. And, but they really want God to bless what they're doing because they're doing it all for him. And so, you know, I would just say I try to distinguish between the acts of God and the ways of God. The acts of God can change over time. You know, when God says march around Jericho seven times and the walls will fall and you obliterate everybody inside, it's the only time he ever did it that way. I mean,
sure.
it worked great, you know. I mean, it was very successful. You'd think that that's something God would have done over and over again, but he does it one time. When he speaks to Moses through a burning bush, it's very effective, but he only ever does that once. So the acts of God can change up quite dramatically. The ways of God, however, are tied to his character.
Yeah.
And so those don't change because his character doesn't change. And so, for instance, God's ways are holy. That's you can always take that to the bank. There's never a time where God does not act in a holy way. Now, you know, the specific acts of holiness he demonstrates, that could vary. You know, sometimes he strikes someone dead for not treating him as holy.
That's
Other
right.
times he calls on them to repent. Those are two very different acts of God. But the way he deals with people is always in holiness. And, of course, holiness means he's pure, means he's completely with integrity. There's no mixture of a little bit of the world and then a lot of God. It's 100% God. And holiness, of course, means he's different than the common, the ordinary, the world. And so if you're gonna serve a holy God, you're going to have to do it in a way that's different than how you relate to other people in the world. And what I find, though, is there seems to be a trend in the church especially where we seem almost infatuated by trying to make God very accessible to people. So we keep presenting him as just like a good friend, just like what you already know. And he's not like what we know. He's different.
Yeah.
And so even the way we worship him, we often don't worship God as if he's holy, as if he's different, but as if he's a buddy, a good friend, as someone that's just like us. And we think we're doing God a favor. We want to grow the church by making God very accessible and relatable. God will never bless ways that you serve him that are different than his way. So we try to serve a holy God in unholy ways. Sometimes to be honest with you, sometimes just the way people pray to God. We don't talk to God as if he's different than us, that he's awesome, that he's far beyond us. We chit-chat with God as if he's almost like a younger brother. And so don't be surprised if you're serving God in ways that are not his ways, that God kind of goes silent on you, that God doesn't want to affirm that. And so I would just, you know, if you're struggling and kind of confused by some things God's done recently, I would say, well, first of all, just stop and ask, what way is God acting right now? And why does that way seem contrary, confusing to you and how you would have done it? Mm. And then don't ask God to adjust his ways. You learn how to elevate your
adjust
ways
your way to God. Yeah.
To the level that he operates. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, it's so powerful. So powerful. Psst. Did you know that my debut book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl, is available wherever you like to buy books? I wrote it just for you, friend. So if you are ready to see your gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective, prioritize goals related to your calling as you move forward with gumption and grace, maximize your passions in the work you do every day, actively partner with God to serve him and love others, and overcome negative thought patterns so you can brainstorm, develop, and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. If that sounds like you, then I want you to order today at the link in the show notes below. Each chapter includes prayer prompts, scripture for further study, questions for reflection, action steps to move your goal forward, and accompanying videos for individual or small group discussion. So grab a friend or 12 and let's use God's word as our compass to do the thing. After all, if not now, when? One of my greatest joys is having the opportunity to come share God's word at women's events, retreats, and conferences. I'm booking speaking engagements for this year and next year and would love to chat with you about your church's next event. shoot me an email at hello@radicalradiance.live to start a conversation today. And that contradiction between his acts and his ways, I think, is so important as we consider that. I'm just chewing on everything you just said. And I'm thinking through just the format of the book. So each chapter, for listeners coming to the conversation today, unpacks one of God's ways. So God's ways are fill in the blank throughout the book. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, as you reflect on the project as a whole, was there a particular way of God that deeply impacted you or maybe surprised you during the writing of the manuscript?
Yeah, there were several that, you know, you start writing and then you just get sort of swept up. The more you think about it, the more it's like, wow, you know, you start going down this trail and you've had this, you've written a book, you know what that's like. You start, sure. Your mind just starts racing and you think, I've never thought about this. I've never camped here long enough, you know, to really unpack this. But, and there were several like that. There's some things I wrote that I knew I was familiar with, and then it's almost like, well, I thought I'd plumb the depths of this, and then you realize there's whole more paths I didn't even know were down here that are taking me even deeper. You know, one was that really kind of got to me was the fact God's eternal. And of course, we know that. But, you know, the way that I try to present the book is we'll talk about how does God do things? And then in light of that, how should we relate to a God who acts that way? And so, you know, the fact God's eternal, there's two sides to that. One, of course, is every time he looks at you, he sees eternity in the backdrop.
Wow.
We're so present, you know, moment focused that God knows every act of obedience. He knows every act of sin, what the eternal consequences will be for that. 1,000 years from now, what will the impact be because you didn't obey God when he told you to go on that mission trip, when he told you to give that offering or whatever it might be, or to turn from that sin? You were being tempted into an adulterous relationship at work, and God knew the impact it would have on your 3 kids if you didn't turn from that, and then the impact it would have on your grandkids and down the line. So that's why God takes things so much more seriously than we do, because for us, it's like Adam and Eve saying, I mean, so we ate some fruit. I mean, how bad can that be, you know? Mm. And God says, if you had any idea the consequences of that one act, because there's eternity always. And by the way, that means every time you relate to someone, it might be an obnoxious customer service agent, be an obnoxious neighbor or colleague at work, but every one of them has an eternity spanning out before them.
That's right.
And that ought to affect the way you show patience to them, the way you show forgiveness to them, the way you treat them. But the other thing that really struck me that I hadn't thought as much about was he's always been. And of course, we all have an eternal destiny. We're all eternal beings as far as we will live forever. But of course, we've all had a starting point except for God. And so, you know, the question that I had was, so how long has God known about you? I mean, how long has God known his purposes for you? And when did, of course, he's always known. Before he created the earth, he knew what he wanted your life to the purpose for it when you came onto this planet. And so how long has God had to prepare for that? I mean, when did God start preparing for you? When did God start putting things in place so that you'd have everything at your fingertips to obey what he asked you to do? Could it be that he put things in your grandparents that would be passed down to you so you'd have all the aptitudes, the skills, the heart for God? You would have been affirmed by your grandmother at the right time. It would have been passed through your parents. And now when God comes to you and says, all right, Rebecca, here's what I have for you. And you say, wait a minute, God, that's way over my head. That's way more than I could do. God would say, do you know how long I've been preparing for you to do what I just asked you to do? Do you know how far back your family tree I've been already working, putting Christian heritage, your great-grandparent that prayed for you before they ever knew who you were, all these different things sort of God put into play. And so it may catch you by surprise the day God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. But it doesn't catch him by surprise. He's been preparing perhaps for generations. And I tell you, that gives me great confidence to realize God's, when he steps up and says, all right, it's Richard, time for you to do this. He has everything in place, everything ready. And he's known for millions of years that this moment would come in my life. And he's fully prepared now for me to step out and do what he asked me to do.
Yeah. His ways are so far beyond our ways. And just what you're saying of his overall plan and purposes are so far beyond what we often consider in our time this side of heaven. And so it's such a powerful reminder. And with that, there was a chapter I was kind of just considering as I flipped through the book and was thinking about our audience and what I really felt would resonate with them. And there was a chapter called God's Ways Are Sequential, which was so interesting for me to consider. And so for somebody coming to the conversation and they see these little things that God is doing around them, but they long for God to show up in, you know, what we, this side of heaven, might consider a bigger, flashier, larger way. How would you want to encourage them in that today?
Well, you know, that's another one of those ways where, it seems sort of boring, really sequential, but the thing is, God doesn't take shortcuts, and God takes time to prepare. And so how many times do we see where God has a great work he wants to do, and then the person spends 40 years in the wilderness getting ready for it, or 15 years running from enemies before he gets to do it? And that's what a lot of the prophecies are. God comes, he says, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go ahead and anoint you now, but you're not going to do it right away. Because basically God always wants to work in you before he works through you. And if he's going to do a great work in your life, he's going to have to build a great character in your life. And so someone like Abraham, you know, he's told he's going to be a father, and then God takes 25 years getting him ready to be the kind of father that Isaac's going to need. And of course, we're so impatient with that. And, you know, one of the things I unpack in there a little bit is just how many times God's answer is a baby. You know, if you're a slave in Egypt wanting a deliverance, I don't know how comforting it is if God says, well, I've just sent a deliverer. Now he's a newborn baby. You're gonna I would think, well, God, don't you have like a deliverer a little bit more fully developed than that? Like, why?
Sure.
You know, how many times Jesus comes as a baby, John the Baptist does, Samson does, Samuel does. You know, there's just a number of times where God's deliverer Isaac is the beginning, but there's a whole lot of time that has to just pass where kids grow up, they learn to walk, they learn to talk. And it's like, God, why couldn't you send a full-grown deliverer right away and like get this thing done? But I realize, you know, with God, what he does is important. How he does it is important. But also when he does it is important. Mm-hmm. God's timing. And it is possible to do the right thing, but to do it at the wrong time. And I've known a lot of God's people, the moment they had a sense of what God wanted them to do, they were out the door ready to do it now. And God might say, no, that's not for 3 or 4 years from now. I was just letting you know where I'm taking you, the direction we're going, but you're not ready yet. And I've seen very well-intentioned Christians just fall flat on their face because they tried something way too soon. And of course, sometimes you can wait too long too, and the moment has passed. And that's why you've got to trust that God always likes to put everything in place before he has you step out. And then you can do that with confidence because God's put everything in place. But so to align your life with the timing of an eternal God, it's been said many times, but when you relate to someone that 1,000 years is like a day to him, then don't be surprised if you have to wait a little bit because he's just not the same hurry you are. He's got an eternal perspective on everything. And one of the hardest things for me has been just to slow down and get in sync with God's timing. But the most successful people I've known are people that have a divine sense of timing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so freeing too, when we really consider that aspect of his character and then lay it up against our life experiences. Listeners will have remembered hearing me tell this story, but the book that I just released in April, to your point, I thought I was ready to write it 10 years ago, right? And God continued to close doors in that season and really refine me along the way. And I will often say, I shudder to think about the book I would have written when I thought I was ready 10 years ago, right? And I think that's just such a testament to that part of his character, and that he is sequential in his ways. And so that part really encouraged my heart. And I couldn't help, as I was flipping through the book, to think of our listeners coming to the conversation who are walking through a season of suffering. And I pulled a quote in the book where you say, God is not indifferent to our pain. However, he knows that some things can only be accomplished through suffering. Yeah. And I know this is one of those grittier, harder topics to talk about as it pertains to the ways of God. But I wonder how you would encourage somebody listening today, walking through a really hard season and holding that tension.
Yeah. And that, well, I tell you, this side of heaven, some of these things are hard to understand. But I mean, one of the ways of God, you know, is exemplified by the cross. And if God is as powerful as we believe he is and all knowing, all wise, surely he could have found a different way to save humanity than have his own son tortured on a cross. There had to have been a different way. And yet for an all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God to say, no, that this is the way it has to be. If his own son, if he couldn't find another way for his son, then don't be surprised if he says, no, and for you, the path for you is going to involve suffering as well. Then, of course, he loved his son. There's no one he loved more than his own son. And by the end of the story, all the suffering's worth it. All the good that comes out of his suffering on a cross, it more than it pays for what happened and justifies it. But for a lot of us, we just have to realize we haven't read the last chapter yet, that God does love us and that we're not at the end of the story yet. This is just one of those painful chapters in the middle of the book, where there's some suffering going on. But the ways of God, that's one of those you just have to kind of wrestle with, to say, if God couldn't find a different route for his own son to bypass suffering, that I've got to pretty well be ready that's going to involve me too at some point. But God has a way of, everything he does is for maximum effect. And so, I could probably live a pain-free life. I just don't know that my life would have much impact, that I'd ever become nearly as much like Jesus as I would be if I suffered the way that God lets me. And so would I rather be more like Jesus and suffer to get there? Yeah, I think I would. Yeah. And would I rather suffer some so that my kids all came to love Jesus, my grandkids did, because I took a more painful path that was the path that was needed so all my grandkids love Jesus one day. Yeah, I would choose that path. So, you know, I think we just have to trust God and his love and his wisdom, that when he puts our life down a path of suffering, hold on, it will be confusing in the moment. But again, if you understand the ways of God, you understand, you know, I'm reading in Jeremiah right now, and the poor guy served God since he was a teenager, and he suffered most of his life. And yet he loved God, and he knew God loved him, but it was a unique calling of a weeping prophet. But I think if you were to like go to heaven today and talk to Jeremiah and ask him, would you choose a different path? He would say, no, that was, God knew best, and God used that. And I teach a Bible study at my church every Sunday morning. We're going through Jeremiah right now. We're talking about that yesterday and just saying, here we are 2,500 years later, still being encouraged by the life that he lived long after he finished his race. And he had no idea that the tough times he was going through, that 2,500 years, people will be being blessed and encouraged and guided by his life and faithfulness. And so, yeah, that's a tough one. But just know that, you know, God, one of his ways is through suffering, but God's ways also are joyful. And yeah. And you can have joy even in your suffering if you'll just stay close to Him and His heart. And and you can have joy because you know that it ends well.
And it ends well.
God is in control, yeah. And all of His purposes will be achieved one day if you just hold on and keep trusting.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So good. And there was one more chapter that, as I looked at it, it felt so important, especially in this season that we find ourselves in. And it's considering the fact that God's ways are countercultural.
Yeah.
And just with everything that we have going on in the world right now, what final charge would you give listeners as they consider that aspect of God's ways?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're always tempted to downsize what God says. Mm-hmm. And probably never more so than now, because so much of what God says is offensive to modern society. It seems impossible. And so we don't want to scare people away. So we try to downsize it. Well, He said that, but you know, when He said be perfect or mature, fully mature, it's like God is. Well, He didn't really mean that you'd be perfect or like God. When He said to love your enemies, he wouldn't ask you to love that person though. When it says be the last will be first, well, he doesn't want you to get pushed around and treated like a doormat. Everything God says that offends us, we try to restate it in a way that, you know, when He says to submit to one another, well, submission is not a real popular thing these days. So let's not talk about that. So we end up with a very different Jesus, a very different God, that has been emasculated from all the hard things that He said and until He's become palatable to us. But a palatable God is not going to save humanity from its sins. And just having a God who basically condones us living the way that we're comfortable living is not going to turn our world upside down. I think Christians have to get back to say, no, God, I think He really meant what He said. His ways don't change. What He said in the Old Testament, He's just as holy in the Old Testament as He is in the New Testament, just as powerful in every Testament and even to this day. And so, I think we need, my dad used to always say, when you see something in the Bible that's just seems impossible for your life or just too hard, don't lower what God said down to the level of your experience. Instead, ask God to raise your experience up to the level of what you find in God's Word. Ooh. And say, God, I don't know how this is possible. This seems impossible for me in my life, but You said it. And yeah. I just have to believe it. And I don't know how I'm going to live it, how I can experience that, but I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to just camp my life here in front of this truth of Your ways and who You are. And I'm going to stay there until I start experiencing that in my life too. And don't downsize them. Don't bypass those hard things. Yeah. Realize His ways are, it's interesting. I was reading the other day, God in Isaiah 55:8-9, He says, as far as the heavens are from the earth, that's how distant. And I was reading, I forget now, it keeps changing, but there's estimates of to get to the end of the universe, it's expanding. And so they'll say it's like, I forget, like 46 billion light years to get to the edge of the universe right now. And which is, of course, just a shot in the dark. It keeps changing. But I thought if the heavens are 46 billion light years away, God was saying, that's how distant Your ways are from mine. And so so when you read something and you immediately say, well, that's impossible, or I'm offended by that. Well, don't be too quick. The only reason you're offended or confused is because you don't understand the ways of God. If you understood the ways of God, it would make perfect sense, and you'd embrace it, and you would experience in your life what people in the Bible experienced in theirs. And so, I can't think of many things that would be any more important to study than the ways of God. And I just agree. Keep putting Your ways up against God's ways and say, God, anywhere where I'm not doing things Your way yet, help me make the adjustment. Because in this short life I have, I don't want to waste it doing it the world's way. I want to do it your way.
That's right. So powerful. Well, in light of that, there is a question that I ask every guest that comes on the Radical Radiance podcast. And having this conversation about the ways of God makes me so excited to hear your answer. As I was praying and asking God to give me wisdom on how to title the show, he kept bringing me back to this verse in Psalm 34. It's verse 5, and it says, "Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be covered in shame." And so the question I love asking all of our guests is, in this season of your life, what about Jesus, as you look to him, makes you radiant?
You know, I think the fact that he said, and lo, I will be with you always. He didn't say that your life will always be easy. He just said, I'll always be with you. He didn't say your life would never sail through a storm. He just said, I'll be in the boat with you when you do face the storm. And, wow. You know, it's just hard not to be radiant when you know that no matter what you face, you just look to your side and there's Jesus right there, perfectly calm, perfectly joyful, perfectly peaceful, saying, we've got this, or I've got this. You just stay close to me. When I start worrying, when I start fretting, if I ever become anxious, I realize I've forgotten who's going with me, who said he'd never leave me or forsake me. And I don't know how you can't be radiant when you know that every time you reach out, there he is, right there where he said he would be. And and so that's what he promised. We get disappointed when we face hardship. He never promised there wouldn't be hardship. He just promised that we'd never face anything that in his strength we couldn't be overcomers.
That's right.
And as we faced it. And so, yeah, that's because there's certainly been challenging times and disappointing times from a human perspective. But at the end of the day, I look and I realize, but God said I can enjoy him every day. And I had a friend one time that really challenged me. He was asking me how things were going, and I was telling him all the stuff I was doing for God and all the service I was doing for God. And he just asked me, but are you enjoying God?
Wow.
And I didn't know how, I'd never been asked that before. And I thought, well, I serve him, I believe in him, I fight for him, but I don't know if I was enjoying him. And I realized he's with me all the time. And I think that's really what he desires, is not just call him in every time I'm facing a problem, but just enjoy the journey with him day by day.
Yeah, I love that. Well, for listeners who have just soaked up your wisdom in this conversation and they want to learn more, they want to grab some of your books or check out all of the resources that you have in the world, let's point them all the places where they can go to find you after this episode.
Yeah, our ministry has a website, just blackaby.org. It's got all of our books there and various resources. And of course, Amazon carries that. And my son Daniel does a special ministry called The Collision, which is especially looks at culture these days. And it's great, especially if you got kids or teenagers you're working with, just how to approach. He does movie reviews and just tries to take a Christian perspective on culture. And I know that's really been helpful to a lot of folks trying to make sense of how do we navigate this? Do we just find a cave and try to keep our kids from any exposure to Hollywood or whatever else? And yet, God has called us to be salt and light that transforms culture and isn't afraid of it, that we wade right in and we change it for good. And so so there's some resources there as well. I'd encourage you to check out also.
Awesome. I love that. Well, I can't tell you how much it has meant to me to get to connect with you these couple of times on the podcast. And you have had such an impact on my life and my husband's life and ministry and leadership. And I can't tell you the number of small groups we've led through your resources over the years and just how much you've deeply impacted us. And so I want you to know that. And I want our listeners to hear that as well. And it's just been a joy to get to know you. So thank you for writing The Ways of God. And thanks for being with me today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Go grab a copy of The Ways of God today. Subtitle is How God Reveals Himself Before a Watching World. Make sure and go grab it. And I am so excited to be with you next week as we will have another amazing conversation here on the Radical Radiance Podcast.